Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Rockets, your source for daily podcast commentary on the Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben DuBose. It's World Series Day here in Houston. The Astros start the Fall Classic tonight in Los Angeles against the Dodgers. It's an off day for the Rockets. They're not back in action until tomorrow night. That's Wednesday against the Philadelphia 76ers. Just last night, Monday, they took their first loss of the year, 98-90 against Memphis. Did a post-game show on that last night. Disappointing close from an offensive perspective, also from the standpoint of the officiating. But at the end of the day, 3-1 after a first week that included games against Memphis and at Golden State. I think Rockets fans are generally pleased with the results as far as where the team is at this point. However, while the top line results are good, you'll take 3-1. There certainly have been some issues with regards to the depth and some of the sudden injuries, most notably Chris Paul, although there were a couple of others announced today. And the big news, we're going to discuss this in our brief off-day episode, the Rockets agreeing to a one-year non-guaranteed contract with Isaiah Cannon, very familiar face, played point guard for this team in both the 2013-2014 and 2014-2015 season. He was dealt at the 2015 deadline to the 76ers, I believe, and of course was unsigned until now, but there have been some talks between him and the Rockets this summer. He had been hoping for a chance to get back with the Rockets because he played here during the James Harden era. Very good shooter from deep, upper 30s with the 76ers in terms of his three-point percentages, even at a very high volume. 1 year, he averaged over 7 three-point attempts per game, scoring almost 12 points per game. So he's not a point guard in the true facilitating sense. However, he can certainly fill it up and is a very good shooter from deep, even has that kind of 27-28-foot range that I think we all like seeing from Ryan Anderson from time to time. And he's agreed to a non-guaranteed contract with the Rockets as of today. News first reported by Chris Haynes of ESPN. And folks, I couldn't be more pleased with it. It's a little signing, but it's a very important one if you've been listening to me right here on this show, Locked On Rockets, over the past week. Because for the Rockets this season, the ultimate what-if going in has been what happens if one of those three guards, Chris Paul, James Harden, Eric Gordon, gets hurt. Because going into the year, the Rockets had just three guards, and there are several reasons for that. First, when you have three guards that are that good, Chris Paul and James Harden are definitely all-stars, and Eric Gordon is not far behind, then they're going to speak for the 96 minutes at the guard spots just between the three of them. All of those minutes are spoken for. So it's tough to lure someone when they're not going to have any kind of consistent minutes. We saw that late last week when the Rockets expressed some interest in Jameer Nelson after he was released by Denver, but ultimately he went to New Orleans. Even though it's a worse team, he could have a stable role in New Orleans over the course of the year, whereas in Houston, when everyone is healthy, there's not going to be that role, and he knew that. So it wasn't an easy sell to begin with, and then the secondary consideration is that due to the luxury tax, the Rockets do have a very big incentive to stay under the tax this year, based on the huge increase in salaries next year when Chris Paul, Clint Capela, Trevor Ariza all get new deals. Between wanting to stay under the luxury tax and the flexibility of keeping what limited money you have under the tax available, and also the roster spot for that matter, going into February when you really get into true buyout period, that's valuable to a team like the Rockets, which should be very well positioned as far as being attractive to veterans who get bought out and can truly make a difference. So, again, it's been tough for the Rockets to recruit, to truly get a fourth guard, even if you would theoretically like to have it behind those three. And there's not really, even if they could, there's not really an incentive for the Rockets to spend just to spend. Because between luxury tax issues and wanting to go after buyout candidates, it's not like you can just throw caution to the wind and just bring in whoever you want. You have to be delicate. But, as fate would have it, not only did the Rockets get tested, they got tested the first week of the year with one of their three guards going down. Chris Paul bumping knees towards the end of the preseason with, actually bumped knees with Mario Chalmers. And geez, imagine Mario Chalmers. God, we've had a hell of a couple of weeks with him here in Houston. First bumping knees with Chris Paul. That seems like that may keep him out for as many as 2 or 3 weeks. And then, of course, getting into his little fracas with James Harden last night, which he kicked him and somehow wasn't really disciplined for that, which is ridiculous. But yeah, last night was our time to complain about the officiating. But with the Chris Paul injury, it put the Rockets in a delicate spot because it's pretty clear there's no one they trusted other than those three guards that went to camp with this team, yet it was also hard to recruit. Jameer Nelson turned them down for a reason because there's not really going to be a role after Chris Paul comes back. It's tough for them to recruit, and they can't really spend wildly anyway due to the limitations of the tax, wanting to go after buyout candidates, et cetera, et cetera. So it kind of took the perfect storm, and to me, Isaiah Cannon is that. He's not a perfect player. As I said, he's basically a three-point specialist with hops, but relative to what the Rockets have on their roster right now, he's an important player. And the best part of this, why this deal was so difficult for the Rockets to get done, in my opinion, they wanted someone to take a non-guaranteed contract, which is what he did. And by taking a non-guaranteed contract, what that means is that the financial commitment is very limited in terms of what it's going to count towards the luxury tax. Unless Cannon really proves worthy of a long-term roster spot, they are going to be able to release him without any sort of significant tax impact. And thus, because of that, if you release him, then not only do you have the tax, not much tax impact, you also have the roster spot back. So because you didn't have to give a guaranteed contract, even the veteran minimum, that's pushing you closer to that tax line, and it makes it tougher to maneuver. So you get a guy who was motivated enough to take that non-guaranteed deal, then all of a sudden, then that gives you the short-term band-aid that you need with Chris Paul not able to play for at least the next couple of weeks, it sounds like, while he's letting that knee heal itself. It gives you the short-term band-aid, but it also gives you the long-term flexibility. It gives you the best of both worlds. And so that's why the Rockets, they might not could go after the true Deron Williams types, guys that had a little bit more proven pedigree, because they'd probably be holding out for better situations, especially now in October. As I said last week, if it was closer to January, February, you might see guys like Jameer Nelson, Deron Williams more willing to take a shot on a team like the Rockets. But right now, they're hoping for a team that can give them not just a guaranteed contract, but a guaranteed role for the season. So it kind of took the Rockets getting the perfect storm of a guy who's motivated enough to sign for a very reasonable deal, yet at the same time was not willing, you know, is willing to bet on himself, I suppose I should say. And that's what stands out about this. Now, I'm not saying the Rockets can't keep Isaiah Cannon. If he comes out here and plays well, then absolutely, I think they'd be open to ultimately guaranteeing that contract and keeping him throughout the year. I think the Rockets are very well aware that even when all three are healthy, you'd, of course, like to have a fourth guard that you can trust from the standpoint of foul trouble, knick-knack injuries, all those types of things. So I think if Isaiah comes out and plays well, he could absolutely earn that spot. But if he doesn't, then you can let him go and you can roll over that flexibility until you get closer to buyout season in January and February. So ultimately, Isaiah is betting on himself. He's taken a deal that's clearly, he knows this is his chance to get minutes over the next 2 or 3 weeks with Chris Paul out. It's also a team alongside James Harden that he has experience with, an organization he knows and is comfortable with. So he's betting on himself, and either he can get a long-term role with the Rockets, or maybe he can raise enough eyebrows around the league that he can use this to get a gig elsewhere. But it's sort of the perfect signing from a Rockets standpoint, because you found a guy who's motivated to play well over the short term, and yet is self-motivated enough by the opportunity that it's not requiring the long-term commitment to really diminish your flexibility down the line. So that's why this deal really made sense for the Rockets. The Rockets couldn't just go out and sign the best point guard available, because it's a matter of the Rockets don't want to give that guaranteed contract if they could avoid it, and those guys are going to be looking for longer-term gigs than 2 to 3 weeks, as opposed to Isaiah Cannon. He's wanting to come back to Houston for a while. It's pretty clear that he's got a high degree of comfort here, still has some great relationships, and it's sort of the perfect marriage, the short-term marriage, Band-Aid, whatever you want to call it, because he's willing to bet on himself, and the Rockets don't have to give out anything that's really going to diminish their long-term flexibility much in regards to guaranteed money, roster spot, or whatever else, because if it doesn't work out, then the Rockets can easily cut bait in a few weeks and it not have any impact. So I think it's a big deal for the Rockets, but it's very needed too, because it's been pretty clear that they don't fully trust either Demetrius Jackson or Bobby Brown. And though they did sign Bryante Weber yesterday to a two-way contract, the same as Demetrius Jackson, again, those guys are meant for the G League level with Rio Grande Valley. Those are 45-day contracts, meaning that they can only spend 45 days at the NBA level for the entire season unless you give them a guaranteed contract. And, of course, at that point, they take up a real roster spot as well. And both of those players are developmental types. You're hoping, because you see athleticism and positive defense from guys like Demetrius and Bryante Weber looking at his tape from a year ago. But what you're looking at those guys as is lottery tickets, saying, hey, over time, if we work with them on their shooting, on their form, can we eventually develop these guys into legitimate NBA players? Right now, they are essentially defense-first guys. They have a skill set that's playable, but they need some refinement that it's kind of tough to get in scattered minutes at the NBA level. And then there's also Bobby Brown in the current roster, but folks, let's be real. It's clear, for whatever reason, Mike D'Antoni does not trust Bobby Brown, and rather than beat your head against a wall asking exactly why, I think it's easier for us to just accept that at that point. And Bobby is in his mid-30s. It's fair to say that he's not going to be much more than he is at this point anyway. So rather than just what if about that, let's just accept the reality is that the two guys that are at the two-way contracts, the G League guys, Demetrius Jackson, Bryante Weber, there's a reason they were available for those two-way contracts. They are not expected to be ready-made NBA players right now, not even for fringe rotation roles. And Bobby Brown, for whatever reason, it's pretty clear that Mike D'Antoni does not want to give him run in legitimate minutes. So there's just an absence of trust, and that's a big deal because what happened last night for the Rockets, the loss to Memphis, both Eric Gordon and James Harden, they played well, but they tended to wear down. It looked like in the second half of the game, there was a very high playmaking burden on them. And then the real problem were the minutes that those guys had to sit. Because when that happened, you only had one playmaker on the floor. You had guys like Trevor Ariza, Luke Bamute at the other guard spot, which is really, really not good. Because in addition to the shooting being inconsistent, there's also not nearly enough athleticism and ability to make anything happen off the dribble. Sometimes you do need a smaller, quicker player. That's just the way it goes. And by the end of that game, especially the stretches with the bench guys, the Rockets, you could just see the offense got very predictable, especially for a high IQ defense like Memphis, because there was only one way to initiate it. And if the initial pick and roll action did not work, they weren't able to take it weak side and have anything happen, because it's not like you can have Trevor Ariza, Luke Bamute being the primary handler on any kind of pick and roll or creation off the dribble. So you need a guard you can trust. It's pretty clear, as I said, those three guys aren't that. Demetrius Jackson played 4 minutes in the first half, didn't play at all in the second of a competitive game against Memphis. That shows you what Mike D'Antoni thinks of him. So you can what if as much as you want. The reality is that he sees them in practice. There's a reason D'Antoni doesn't trust those. Isaiah Cannon has a longer NBA track record. He also has experience playing alongside James Harden. So is he a great NBA player? No, he's absolutely not. But the Rockets are not looking for a great or even necessarily good player at that spot. What you're looking for are passable minutes. You are looking for a Band-Aid over the next 2 or 3 weeks to get you through this Chris Paul injury. And is Isaiah Cannon going to be a big part of a championship contender? No, he's probably not playing regular rotation minutes. But being a championship contender is not just about the team you are in April, May, and June. It is about putting yourself in the best position by winning the most games you can over 82 games. And if the Rockets want to get that number two seed in the West, the line between themselves, the Spurs, the Thunder, and those 2 through 4 spots, I think the Rockets are the best team of those three, but it's not like the line is that huge. So you can't throw away games. Even if Isaiah Cannon is not going to make you that different in terms of your long-term potential, he can help you a lot relative to Demetrius Jackson, Bobby Brown. Over the next 2 or 3 weeks, Cannon's just a much more accomplished, experienced player that D'Antoni is more likely to trust. And so because of that, if that helps you sneak out a couple of extra wins over the next 2 weeks, even if Isaiah Cannon isn't playing a role, and even if you cut him after 3 weeks, then at the end of the year, those two wins might be a pretty damn big deal in regards to whether the Rockets are a 2 seed, a 3 seed, or a 4 seed. So it's an incremental upgrade, but it's one the Rockets sorely, sorely need. Because if you watch that game against Memphis, you could see the offense getting very predictable from the standpoint of not having anyone other than Eric Gordon and James Harden to kind of initiate it. And so the minutes they didn't play, Yeah, there's a reason why Trevor Ariza is not a shooting guard. And then beyond that, even when they did play in the final 6 minutes, aside from the officiating, it seemed like both of them were worn down. Eric had 18-5-4 in the first half, had 9-2-0, his slash line for points, assists, rebounds in the second half. And I think a big part of that is that there was a cumulative toll from all that playmaking with almost no help, because those two guys, Gordon or Harden, had to be the lead on literally every possession, and especially the case when only one of them is out there. So having another guard that can do anything off the dribble is helpful. So I think it helps from the standpoint of mitigating, boosting the bench, and also should help keep Eric Gordon and James Harden fresher, so that if they're playing a good team like Memphis, they are not as exhausted in the final 6 minutes, because they are the only two guards that can initiate anything. So it certainly helps from that standpoint, the addition of Isaiah Cannon. It can also help you from a shooting standpoint, because let's be real, the Rockets, I'm not worried about their three-point shooting, but it hasn't been good. Last night, they were below 24%. That's terrible. Now, the Rockets have not forgotten how to shoot. A lot of this stuff is either just bad luck, and it'll resolve itself naturally. The more guys like Ryan Anderson, Trevor Ariza get good looks, the more they're going to revert back to their career numbers. They haven't forgotten how to shoot. However, the other part of it, you need guards to help you get better looks, and hopefully Isaiah can help with that. But two, sometimes you just need to see the ball go in the basket. You need a short-term boost in terms of morale, just kind of getting your team a spark. And that's what Isaiah Cannon can provide. If there's one thing you remember, everybody thinks of the Cannon balls. Well, folks, this guy can heat up on very, very short notice, and yeah, if he gets a couple to go in, all of a sudden the energy picks up. At some point, there's just a certain malaise, I think, that can happen over the course of especially October, November, early in the NBA. And if you feel like if you're not making threes, it's easy to feel like it's not your night. And all of a sudden, a guy like Isaiah Cannon, if he hits a couple of threes, and he can do that in any given game at any time, then all of a sudden it can be an infectious thing, get people to buy in. So I think on a lot of levels, I don't see that three-point shooting is a long-term need for the Rockets. I think they have enough shooters. However, just the same as they need another body at the guard spot in the short term, I also think having another capable three-point shooter in the short term can potentially help just kind of break the Rockets out of this funk and liven up that that bench in terms of expecting things to go right. So again, all of these are short-term factors, but you know what? The Rockets clearly have a need. I've addressed it a lot in the past week, and to me, Isaiah Cannon's about the most reasonable fit. I've said him several times over the past week. He always felt like the most reasonable fit because he's an option with familiarity with Houston. Actually, he has a relationship with Chris Paul, too. I think going back to Chris Paul's his basketball camp and some of the things that he does off the court. So I think there's a relationship there as well. There's familiarity. So hopefully that can get him in the rotation very, very quickly, maybe even as soon as tomorrow in Philadelphia. There's all those factors of familiarity, plus the fact that he's more willing to accept a short-term gig without any sort of guaranteed long-term money or role commitment. That's what's different than more accomplished veteran players like Jameer Nelson or Deron Williams. Isaiah Cannon checks that, you know, it works for him, and it also works for the Rockets. That's why it was the most reasonable fit to me all along, and thankfully the Rockets got it done. I think in an ideal world, people have been asking the last few days to me on Twitter, why aren't they acting on this? Why aren't they looking at Cannon or someone else? And Woj actually reported when the Rockets signed Briante Weber Monday morning that the Rockets were anticipating rolling over that roster spot. Well, folks, the Rockets would rather fully keep the flexibility. They would rather just roll with what they have and not even commit a little bit of money. But at the same time, they are going to be flexible and see what the games tell them. Until last night, they were 3-0. They destroyed Dallas on Saturday night. And sure, there were a few issues that you could be seeing, but when you're up 34 points after three quarters, you're not going to go out of your way to make a short-term signing, because the short-term appears perfectly fine when you're absolutely destroying a team like the way they did Saturday night against Dallas. And then, of course, you're coming off an opener in which you won at Golden State, the defending champs, the best team in the league. So that's why the Rockets didn't do this over the weekend. I think after that game against Dallas, you said, hey, okay, you won a game huge with Demetrius Jackson as that third guard. Let's see what happens. Let's play it out. And you know what? Monday, they did that, and it didn't work out. And give the Rockets credit. They saw it, and they adjusted. So that's the timing of it. I think the Rockets, you know, in an ideal world, they would just keep all the money, the roster flexibility, and not make that signing at all. But at the same time, circumstances changed throughout the year. They saw the same things we saw last night in terms of the weaknesses from a personnel standpoint in that Memphis loss, and they adjusted. So that's the timing of it. That's why Isaiah Cannon, as of Tuesday, is a Rocket, and that's why, in my opinion, I would guess he joins the rotation pretty much the first game that he shows up, which could be tomorrow evening in Philadelphia. So that's the Isaiah Cannon reaction. Unfortunately, that's not the only news for the Rockets today, because we also got some bad injury developments from Jonathan Fagan of the Chronicle, reported that Trevor Ariza is likely out tomorrow with a bruised foot. He was stepped on against Memphis. And Nene sitting out with a sore left Achilles. So that's two more rotation players on top of Chris Paul that are out. None of them major long-term concerns. The Trevor Ariza thing, as I said, with Chris Paul, I actually see a little bit of a positive from the standpoint that the Rockets are actually giving guys days off the way they would not a year ago. I think, you know, I think back to December last year. I made the analogy after last week's back-to-back, but if you remember, there was one last year when Trevor Ariza had back spasms after Denver. The guy could barely walk, and yet he did not even miss a game. That was the mentality that the Rockets played with last year. That was the chip on their shoulder, and maybe it helped them get 55 wins, but ultimately it caught up with them in the playoffs because, yeah, there were fatigue issues up and down the roster the deeper they went in to especially the second-round series against the Spurs. So the Rockets are taking a longer-term view this year. That's good because I'm sure Trevor Ariza probably could play through basically a sprained foot that happened because somebody stepped on it, but at the same time, it's just not the smart thing to do. Nene with an Achilles injury is a little dicier because certainly Achilles injuries, now if you fully snap that Achilles, you're done for the year and it can be a career-altering or even ending thing. Just look at Kobe Bryant. However, I would not panic based on that. Lots of older players, Dirk Nowitzki most notably, take games off. They have notoriously bulky Achilles. And the good thing about the Achilles, if you are honest with yourself, you can tell when it's a little, when it doesn't feel all the way there. And so if it feels a little weak, then that's your body saying, hey, you need to stay off of that so that it doesn't get to the point where that thing ruptures or something bad happens. So I wouldn't necessarily worry about the Nene thing. I think it's just kind of comes with the territory of having a guy who's 35 years old and has played double-digit seasons in the NBA. It's the same way with Dirk at Dallas. You just have to manage it as best you can, and I think the Rockets have a pretty good idea of how to do that after riding with Nene last season. So I don't see that as a huge concern. Certainly don't see Trevor Ariza with what amounts to just someone stepping on his foot. These are just short-term issues that the Rockets are taking a longer-term view. Don't think that didn't happen last year. It sounds like bad luck, but no, this stuff happens to every team. Everybody has little nicks and bumps like that up and down their roster, and the Rockets sure as hell did last year, too. We just always did not hear about them as media or fans because the Rockets last year, their mentality was to play through everything. And, you know, I know it was part of their culture, but ultimately it caught up with them. This year, I think you're probably going to hear about these things a little bit more just because the Rockets are taking more of a longer-term view when it comes to having everyone fully, I don't know, fully fresh, but certainly as ready to go as they can be in April, May, and hopefully June. So I'm not worried about either of those injuries. Short-term, what does it mean? I don't think that an A injury means that much for anyone because it's just going to be a matter of Tarik Black stepping into that role. This is what you signed Tarik Black for with your biannual exception. This is why you brought in a third-string center that's more than a minimum guy. You knew that Nene is going to, whether it be an injury or just typical nights off for a guy who's 35 years old and has a long injury history in the NBA, you knew there are going to be nights that Nene's not out there. Tarik played well his first game of the regular season against Dallas the other night in 13 minutes, had 6 rebounds, 2 blocks. So I think he's going to be ready to go. It's just one of those games. Maybe it's for one game, maybe it's for 2 or 3, but it's going to be Tarik Black's time. And as far as the rotation, nothing really changes. It's just a matter of Tarik Black filling those minutes from Nene, and hopefully he's ready to go. There's a reason the Rockets really liked him in the offseason. A lot of guys, before the offseason started, thought Tarik Black might be close to a mid-level exception type player. He has proven, both offensively and defensively, to be a very capable big at the NBA level. So I don't really see that being a huge deal one way or another. In the end of the preseason, now Tarik did miss most of the preseason with a sore knee, and so there was rust that last game of the preseason against San Antonio, and maybe you could have some concerns then, but I thought it was pretty clear against Dallas that Tarik Black had knocked a lot of that rust off. So I think he's going to take those Nene minutes. He's going to be just fine. The Trevor Ariza situation is a little trickier because he's a guy who plays upper 30s, even 40 minutes per game at times, very valuable defensively. So that's a lot of minutes to fill. Luke Bamute is going to take his spot at small forward in the starting lineup. I think that's generally going to be fine, but those mid to upper 30s minutes per game, that's a lot of minutes to fill. And I don't think you're just going to see Luke Bamute and PJ Tucker each playing 40 minutes because well, even then, that's not fully going to offset Trevor Ariza's minutes. And then secondly, you know, you don't want to wear those guys down. P.J. Tucker was dealing with a strained hamstring as recently as a couple of weeks ago. So I don't think the Rockets are going to overextend those in Ariza's absence. This is where I think Troy Williams may get his shot. I don't think you're going to see anything crazy such as the bigs. I know a lot of folks see these injuries and think, you know, Jochi, Chinadu Anuaku, some of your younger guys, will they get a shot? I'd be a little surprised just because really the center spot is that's the only place that those guys, in my opinion, are going to play in a Mike D'Antoni offense. Maybe Jochi can sneak a little bit of minutes at the power forward spot, but in general, those are bigs only. When you're talking about Trevor Ariza, you're talking about more than anything wing defense and shooting. So you need guys that can play on the perimeter. To me, calling up Troy Williams seems like the obvious move in the short term, just because he's a guy, you have put him in this role. We saw it at the end of last year. He is able to defend at a high level. And it's not like, and the other thing I'll point out, it's not like you can really extend your guards. It's not like you can play super small and then have three guards out there, because you also, as I said with the Isaiah Cannon talk, there's no one other than those first two guards that you trust at that spot. So if you, you know, say hypothetically move James Harden or Eric Gordon to the three for stretches of the game, okay, then who's going to play the one? You're already deficient there. So while Isaiah Cannon can get some run immediately, I don't think you're going to go to where he's playing 30 minutes a game initially and then moving one of Eric Gordon or James Harden to the three to occupy some of Trevor Ariza's minutes. I think that's probably a little too much to ask for Isaiah Cannon literally coming off the street to the Rockets. I think, you know, you hope for, you know, 15 to 20 minutes per game from him. I think 30 is a little much. So the reason I say all of that is to make the point that unlike the Nene injury where Tarik Black just fills it himself and it's obvious, the Ariza injury, you're going to need someone to step up who otherwise has not been playing, who you would not necessarily expect. So to me, that's what Troy Williams is there for. This is a guy who scored over 25 points per game in the summer league, looked accomplished against quality NBA players, had moments last year, actually started 13 games in Memphis, a very good team that prioritizes defense. So to me, the Rockets, you know, they still have to call him up, but he's the guy that feels like the most logical fit to get some of those minutes. As I said, Bob Mute will start for Ariza. P.J. Tucker will play a few more minutes, but you're going to have one more wing body that you can trust. And I don't think it's going to be Jochi. He, to me, is a clear four or five only and very raw at that in Mike D'Antoni's system. So I think it's going to have to be someone that has more wing experience. It's pretty obvious that the guards, Demetrius Jackson, Bobby Brown, Briante Weber, if they hypothetically were to call him up, they're not exactly at the top of Mike D'Antoni's list. Troy Williams has gotten minutes sometimes, so to me, he's the guy who feels like the easiest, most seamless fit from filling those Trevor Ariza minutes. Because, again, we're just talking about short-term band-aids here. Long-term, is he going to be a guy? Probably not. But all you're wanting is just something to get you through the next few games, however long it's going to be. I don't anticipate being long. I don't think any of these injuries, not Ariza, not Nene, not Chris Paul, none of them are things you should really worry about. It's just a matter of getting through the next week as best you can. So Isaiah Cannon helps it on the Chris Paul front. The Nene front is sort of taken care of with Tarik Black. The Rockets are already built for that. And then as far as Ariza, to me, the best bet is Troy Williams. So I think that's probably enough Rockets talk for one off day. Again, this is not exactly huge Rockets day in Houston. This is all about the Astros. World Series opens tonight. I'm aware of that. Rockets don't even play again until tomorrow night. But between the two injuries, both of which we did not know of Monday night in the locker room after the Memphis game, and then the Isaiah Cannon agreement, figured you guys would want a quick update about what this means over the short term. So that's what I was hoping to do today. And of course, we'll see exactly how it plays out tomorrow night in Philadelphia when the Rockets return to the floor. So for now, I hope everybody goes out, enjoy the Astros tonight. That's what I'm going to do. I'm actually going to be at Minute Maid Park writing a couple of stories for MLB.com about the fans that are out there. So yeah, actually, if you're out there, please tweet me, email me, whatever you can do. And I would love to feature you, talk about your experiences in Houston with this ride with the Astros. And of course, we can chat some Rockets as well if you're out there. So if you want to get in touch with me about that, about the Rockets, about anything, yeah, Twitter's the easiest way, at Ben Dubose or at Lockdown Rockets. That's our show handle. You can also email us, lockdownrockets@gmail.com. Questions, suggestions, advertising inquiries, anything we can do to make this a better program for you, the diehard Rockets fan. Once again, the news of the day, Isaiah Cannon has come to a one-year non-guaranteed contract agreement for the Rockets. I would imagine that he's going to be, well, your third guard for now in the absence of Chris Paul, potentially your fourth guard when Chris Paul returns. We'll see if he earns that roster spot. But yeah, Isaiah Cannon about to join the Rockets. Hopefully he will be in uniform tomorrow night in Philadelphia because the Rockets can certainly use the bodies, partially because of the Chris Paul injury and because of the other two things we learned today, which were Trevor Ariza with a foot sprain from being stepped on, and then Nene with a sore Achilles, both likely to miss tomorrow night's game. So the Rockets, without three of their rotation regulars, looking for reinforcements, and Isaiah Cannon seems to be the first guy to get that call, and we'll see how he does tomorrow night in Philadelphia. Look forward to talking with you guys about that then. For now, folks, go Astros, and we'll talk again tomorrow night following the Rockets-Sixers game in Philadelphia.